Hello, everybody. My name is Dave Wilson, and if you can hear the sound of my voice and all this stuff works, we're about to embark on an adventure together, an adventure called Dave Wilson's Part of Radio Liberty. Some of my favorite people, some exciting guests, we're going to talk to them today, tomorrow, next week, as Dr. Stanley Monteith is on vacation. Hooray! Not that he's gone, but that he's getting some rest. Put him on top of your prayer list, won't you please, that he can come back here refreshed and all ready to go. I know I've been praying for him, and I think he's probably having a wonderful time just kind of being away from phones and TV and all kinds of stuff, really rejuvenating himself for the fall. Now, be that as it may, I have to warn you, of course, that this program reflects my views and those of my guests. So don't you dare think that the views expressed on this live radio program are those of the station you're listening to. No, 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 don't do that. We've got a wonderful guest today. Paul Walter was born in Yugoslavia in 1945, and after a lot of suffering under socialism, his dad gathered the family and escaped to America when Paul was only 14 years old. Now, he became an American citizen in 1963, and he served in the United States Army, and he was honorably discharged. And because he loves America, ladies and gentlemen, he continues to fight to this day for the rights and freedoms our Constitution and Bill of Rights guaranteed every American citizen. Rights and freedoms that our government from the very beginning of our republic have continuously chipped away at, leaving us with just a pretense of a constitutional government. And we're going to be talking also with his wife, Lorraine. And I'm very, very excited to welcome you both to Radio Liberty. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing really well, and I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join the people here of the Central California coast and actually clear across the country via the internet and shortwave and a bunch of other magical kind of things that I don't understand completely about, to talk about what's on your heart. And I suspect that our hearts tend to beat in concert here because there's a lot of what you've written, what you have on your website, and of course this book that you've republished that speaks of somewhat of a troublesome area. You're concerned, aren't you, Paul, about what's happening in America today, and haven't you seen this kind of thing go on before?
Well, where I came from in Yugoslavia, what I remember, you know, from being a child and going to school there, mm-hmm. is one of the things that they did there is they used children as snitches for the government against the children, against their parents, and against everything that they see. They are to report to school, and the school, of course, turns around and calls the government, and next thing you know, your door is broken down at 3 o'clock in the morning. And there they are searching your home because, you know, and of course everything is kept secret, so no one knows where the call originated from, and they're doing the same thing under this TIPS program. Now, I don't have a problem with the TIPS program if it's noble people with noble intentions, but, you know, once a program like that is in place, and some believe that Bush is a wonderful man and some believe that he isn't, but let's say that he is a decent man and he really believes in good for the sake of argument. But let's say that in 2 years he gets voted out and Hillary Clinton takes over. Now, would you trust Hillary Clinton and her bunch with a TIPS program where everybody snitches on everybody else? I wouldn't.
No, I don't think so.
The problem is, you see, once something is put in place and it's not set in stone, in other words, nothing is really defined, everything can be defined depending on the discretion of the interpreter. You interpret one way, another person interprets another meaning another way, and pretty soon, there you go. They build on something, so once something is in place, it gets built on and built on and built on until you're living in hell, and then you wondered how you got there.
That's exactly what's happening in our criminal justice system and in our justice system just about in every way. They're talking about case law more than they're talking about constitutional law, and judges are actively making laws throughout this land at every level, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, one good example is, for example, when, let's say, after 9/11, you know, they had to take certain precautions to make sure that, you know, no one hijacks a plane again, mm-hmm. and uses it as a weapon to ram into a skyscraper. So what they did is they have security forces at all the airports. Now, there is such insanity, like AP Wire Service reported this morning, that a woman at the JFK Airport in New York was made to drink her own breast milk by the security forces. They made her do this, and she's suing the airport security forces. There was another one at L.A. Airport, a security alert, because a child was carrying a G.I. Joe toy,
mm-hmm.
and this G.I. Joe figure, which is about a foot tall, was carrying a little 3-inch plastic machine gun. And that machine gun, of course, the security alert was announced because of this little 3-inch G.I. Joe security plastic machine gun. Now, that is... It is so insane that I can't even put words on it, how insane and how stupid this is. And then there's another report that was an AP wire service. An 80-year-old World War II veteran went through a security check at the airport yesterday, and they were searching his luggage, and he made a comment, what do you expect to find in there, a rifle? And the word rifle, another security alert went off because the word rifle was mentioned, and they came and arrested him and took him to jail.
It's just amazing. The inmates are running the asylum. I firmly believe it. Tell us a little bit about what you do, your ministry, if you will, your publishing endeavors, and the wonderful website that you have. I guess you could start wherever you want.
Well, our website, I started the website about a year ago, a little over a year ago, actually about 14 months, 15 months ago to be approximate. It's called newswithviews.com. And it's grown so big that we're over 500,000 hits a month now, and I would say we'll be over 1 million hits per month. I would hopefully, please God, before end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just grown by leaps and bounds, and I never dreamed that this would get that big. And of course, we have articles there that are written by, like, Charlotte Isserbay from, used to be the National Policy Advisor on the first Ronald Reagan's term, under education, and we have talk show hosts and other people writing articles to enlighten our readers, and we have no spin there. We don't have any liberals writing lies to tell you how wonderful it is, and we shouldn't, you know, have to hug a tree, and we shouldn't cut any trees down. And we also don't have any right-wing articles that are, you know, Jew-hating articles or any other hating mm-hmm. articles. We try to stay in the middle where truth and common sense exist, so we don't mislead anyone to the best of our ability, and the website has grown quite big, and I'm very surprised. And of course, we published the Coming Battle book, and I'm sure your readers heard enough about what the Coming Battle book is about, but those who haven't, I can briefly tell you.
Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back from this first break, and you know, the newswithviews.com, ladies and gentlemen, it's a fascinating website, and I can understand easily why it has become so popular. I want to recommend very highly that you do access that URL. That's www.newswithviews.com, spelled just exactly as I tried to enunciate it. You'll find articles in there by John Loeffler, and it reads like a guest list for Radio Liberty in many ways. That Dr. Stan has had so many wonderful people on over the years, and it's a valuable source for finding out what's really going on today and for linking yourselves with all kinds of marvelous ministries who are like-minded, that is, want to save this country from the desperation that will be ours should we just forget about voting, forget about exercising our rights, and perhaps most importantly, forget about educating ourselves. You know, educating ourselves is one of the things that Dr. Stan has a passion for. And when I sit up here in the studio, I'm sitting in the vicinity of his library, and there are literally thousands, perhaps even tens of thousands of books here. And the scary thing about it is that Dr. Stan has read most of this stuff, and the even scarier thing about it is that he remembers a goodly portion of it. What are you doing to avail yourself of the information that is out there? Well, one of the things that you can do easily enough is to call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for a copy of the Radio Liberty resource list. We'll talk a little bit about that as we come back. Don't you dare go away.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, All of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
And we're back. My name is Dave Wilson, sitting in here, privileged to be sitting in here for Dr. Stanley Monteith, who's away for a few more days. We've got some great shows lined up, none better than the one we have for this afternoon with my guest Paul and Lorraine Walter, calling from Southern Oregon to talk about the things that are near and dear to them and, coincidentally enough, near and dear to me. I was going to tell you just a little bit about the Radio Liberty Resource Pack, which if you listen very often to Radio Liberty, you'll know is delivered to you free and postpaid if you simply call 1-800-544-8927 and ask the person that answers the phone there for a copy of the Radio Liberty Resource Packet. You'll be able to get a listing therein of all the books and tapes and all kinds of stuff that we have that will tell you about what you need to know regarding availing yourself of information to help you know what your part of the battle is. And that's the most important thing, don't you think, Paul and Lorraine, that people need to educate themselves so that they know what small or large part of the battle is theirs personally?
Absolutely. You know, my wife and I were talking about this just this morning, how we're losing our rights, and they're taking our rights away, and I was telling her, no one is taking our rights away.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving them away.
Yeah.
We're giving our rights away. No one is, for example, every time you have on the ballot, you know, we need more money for the schools, and people voted it in. They voted it in. In Southern Oregon, where I live here, people are so dumbed down, and they're basically dumbed down in our churches, because the churches teach you that you have to obey government authority, and whatever they say, you have to do, of course. So on one hand, the scribes in the church tell you to obey government authority, and the Pharisees pass laws to rob you of all your hard-earned money. And the problem is people have no discernment to see that which is real and what is not real and what is common sense of what isn't. They just think that if you give the government more money for schools, you give it more money for this, you give it more money for that, things are going to get better. But nothing gets better, because the whole thing is a lie. They deliberately keep things falling apart so they can keep asking you for more money,
mm-hmm.
so they can keep hiring more and more people, so the bureaucracy keeps growing and growing, and nothing ever gets solved, and nothing has ever gotten solved, and nothing ever will get solved. The whole thing is a sham to keep themselves in power, and people still haven't caught on. And every time they have money here for a brand new high school with all the computers here, $40 million, we need a new high school because the roof leaks, instead of spending $2 million fixing the old one, people voted themselves in for a $40 million high school so they can get better computers and better technology to brainwash your kids even more, and they're passing that. So I'm realizing that no one is really taking our rights away. We're giving them away by not standing up to these people and say enough is enough. And then they threaten us here, well, if you don't give them more money, we're going to shut down the libraries.
Right.
We're going to shut down the parks. We're going to shut down this. We're going to shut down the schools. You know what my attitude is? Shut it down. Goodbye. Nice knowing you. Shut the whole thing down. I'll homeschool my kids. But you see, most people aren't that bold and brave. What they'll do is they'll buckle under, say, oh, gosh, I can't have the school shut down. I'll give them whatever they want. And they give in, and then things get worse. And they wondered why things got worse.
And they never, now this may sound very hard-hearted, and perhaps it is, but they never threatened to shut down the things which engender socialism in the hearts of people. That is,
absolutely,
the free food things, the homeless shelters, the free this for those, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's always the things that the common citizen depends upon, like his schools and infrastructure.
They always threaten with the things that are important to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Senior citizens, school lunches, free school lunch programs, and schools, and stuff like this, and parks, and libraries, and 4-H programs, and threaten you with that. but they never say, well, if you don't give me any money, I'm going to cut my salary in half.
Really?
And threaten you with their own salary. They never do that.
Those are about 10 words they forget when they get elected, I'll tell you.
let me explain to you how wicked a paper, a local paper is, and I'm sure it's probably the same in a lot of other small town papers like the one we have here.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did here is, we had a levy here that they needed, I don't know, it was $25 million for a new jail, that's what it was. So what happened a month before the levy was to be voted on, what did they do? They have front page headlines. Their Aryan Nations are moving in, the skinheads, the hate groups are coming out of the woodwork, the seniors won't be safe on the streets. You vote for this, it only costs you a cup of coffee per day or a slice of pizza. And you know, they kept this on and on, how unsafe the seniors will be and children will be safe on the streets. And as soon as the levy was passed, guess what happened? The hate groups disappeared, and the seniors are back safe on the streets again. And it works every time.
It does indeed. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be opening up the calls for you to join us here at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237, or locally here in Santa Cruz at 464-8295. But wait until we have one more break. That is the bottom half of the hour. Then give us a call at 464-8295, or we'll pay for your call at 888-245-4237. We're talking with Paul Walter and his wife Lorraine about things on their heart. You know, a man who has witnessed socialism, communism, those sorts of political structures in place will more than likely never forget them. There are definitions for these things, and I'd like to read just a couple of things, and maybe that will direct our conversation just a little bit, Paul and Lorraine. I thought it was fascinating. First of all, socialism is any of various economic and political theories advocating collective or governmental ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods, a system of society or group living which there is no private property, a system or condition of society in which the means of production are owned and controlled by the state, a stage of society, most importantly, in Marxist theory, transitional between capitalism and communism, and distinguished by unequal distribution of goods and pay according to the work done. Now, in communism, it says, this is a theory advocating the elimination of private property, a system in which goods are owned in common and are available to all as needed, and a totalitarian system of government in which a single authoritarian party control state-owned means of production. And the most interesting thing, I thought, is the last definition here in Webster's Dictionary for communism says, it's a final stage of society in Marxist theory in which the state has withered away and economic goods are distributed equally. Well, God's Word, the Bible, says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Ladies and gentlemen, do you want your government to just go away in the sense of becoming just a totalitarian state? Do you think that goods will be distributed equitably if there is no regulation, no incentive for anybody to do anything? Well, I don't. This country was founded on the basis of ownership of private property and the control of the means of production. And socialism and communism, as defined in the dictionary, which I've just read to you, are absolutely desperately trying to get your private property into public hands. Is that generally correct, Paul?
Absolutely, in the worst way. But I see it just a little bit different, Dave. I see there's two forces. One is called communism, one is called fascism.
Mm-hmm.
But the bridge to accomplish either or is called socialism.
Mm-hmm.
Socialism is a bridge to communism, and socialism is a bridge to fascism, because Adolf Hitler called this country Socialist Republic of Germany, and Russia called it a Socialist Republic of Russia. So the one is communist and one is fascist, and yet they hate each other. Okay, now since they hate each other, then there has to be a spiritual aspect to this to define this a little bit further, and I can define this that communism is feminine in nature. In other words, it's more liberal. Mm-hmm. Liberals are communists, basically. And I'm witnessing this in Oregon because I'm watching the political scene unfold here. For example, we have the liberals here, bleeding heart liberals. A criminal comes in the front door, and a judge slaps him on the wrist, and out the back door he goes. So the conservatives come along, if you want to call them conservative, they're not really conservative either. But they come along with a solution. It's called a sledgehammer. And you take a sledgehammer to kill a fly. So what they do is they pass a law here called one strike and you're out, which is measure 11. And what measure 11 does is one strike, one mistake, and you get mandatory 7.5 years. Now, this is insane. Mm. So they went from one extreme, which slaps the wrist of a criminal, and the pendulum swung all the way to the other extreme now to where he gets 7.5 years. There's a young man here that met a young lady on the internet. He was 21. She was 14. He didn't know she was 14. And they met, and they never had sex, but they, you know, came close. They were, you know, making out in the back seat of the car, and I guess the father caught him, and he turned him over to the law because his daughter was 13 years old. And by the way, when you see the picture of her, she looks like she's 18.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy, poor guy, didn't know.
Yeah.
And a parents, you know, probably didn't know that this guy was fooling around with this girl on the internet. So what happened is he was facing 30 years in prison. And because of Measure 11, the only thing left is a plea bargain. And a plea bargain, I guess he got 10 years for something he didn't even do. 10 years a 20-year-old young man's got in prison as a plea bargain. He was facing much more than that, or he got a considerable amount. I don't remember exactly how many years he got, but I know it was quite a bit.
It's an amazing thing how the minds of people who we've put in charge can swing from one side or the other, somehow thinking this is good, but all the while accruing power unto themselves to put fear in the hearts of the public. And as we come back from this next break here at the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking more with Paul and Lorraine Walter. Oh, hi, Lorraine. Are you still there, by the way?
She'd be with us. She'd be back in a moment.
Okay. Anyway, I want to encourage folks to make that phone call and ask for the copy of the Radio Liberty Resource Packet, because therein you'll find the books and tapes and videos and everything that Dr. Stan and his associates have put together so that you might avail yourself of information that will help you defend your position. Now, if you're just new to listening to Radio Liberty and you really don't understand where we're about, one of the best things that you can do for yourself to help yourself is call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for a copy of Dr. Stan's latest book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. It's available right now, and I guarantee you that it will change the way you look at the world. The story is absolutely incredible, but it's absolutely true. It'll challenge everything that you believe. The Brotherhood of Darkness, written by Dr. Stanley Monteith. You can call 800-544-8927, or you can send a check for $15 to P.O. Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. The easiest way with your MasterCard or Visa or whatever, 800-544-8927 for a copy of Dr. Stan's book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. We'll be right back.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
And we're back for the final half hour of a Thursday's edition, the 8th of August already. Radio Liberty. My name is Dave Wilson, sitting in here for Dr. Stan, who will be away for the rest of this week and next week as well. I've got some great shows lined up, and I hope that you'll make it a habit to join me every afternoon here at 4:05 Pacific Daylight Time to see what's going on. Tomorrow we're going to have Jay Wally with us, and we'll be talking a little bit more about property rights as we began yesterday, as we're continuing on today. Tell us, Paul, a little bit about the story behind The Coming Battle. Now, you've republished that at Walter Publishing Company, and I have a copy of it in my hand, and we sell it here at Radio Liberty, very popular item. Can you go into the history of that just a little bit for me?
Okay, Mr. Walbert predicted that there will be, and by the way, Mr. Walbert wrote this, he was born before the Civil War, wrote the book sometimes before 1899, prior to that, because he published it in 1899. And he predicted that there will be a time that will come in America that the country that your forefathers conquered, that the people will wake up homeless and starving on a continent that their forefathers conquered. And how this will happen is that there is a trio in partnership, and that's called a corporate interest, a banking interest, and a government, and how the trio works hand in hand. I think you should have added the pastors in it, because I think some of them are in on a gravy train as well.
I'm afraid you're right.
But he mentioned, he by the way, he's not a very big fan of religious leaders, because he's down on them as well, especially in the first chapter. But the trio, the banking, the corporate, and the government, how the trio conspired to basically bring this country on its knees. And if you read The Coming Battle book, the first thing you will see that we're going to head into a corporate police state.
Mm.
And that's exactly what we're heading into. And it's begun every day as you read the headlines. And, you know, Fox News took a survey, about 6-7 months back, and they asked people what they rely on as a source of their news. And Internet, of course, was number one. Talk radio was number two, or TV was number three, and of course print media was number four. So Internet is very popular, and there is news sites like World in a Daily, there's newsreviews.com, which is ours, and Newsmax, and a lot of other good ones,
right,
that will bring you the truth as best as they can to wake you up and let you know where the problems are coming from. And, you know, people that want to know where, for example, I just got a letter from Michael Rupert, and I think you know who he is. He's with the Wilderness Society, that he's moving to Southern Oregon somewhere, or getting out of the L.A. area, because it's getting to be quite dangerous, according to what he just said.
Mm.
They're moving somewhere in Southern Oregon. He didn't say exactly where, but I sent him an email back, and I said, you know, Grants Pass and Medford area is this nice, safe area, because World in a Daily is headquartered here, and of course we are headquartered here, and then Talk Radio Network, which owns Michael Savage, is headquartered here, and we have a lot of radicals here and a lot of good conservative people.
You know, you shouldn't say that there are a lot of radicals there, in the sense that, I don't know whether you're speaking of yourself as people who have educated themselves, or just people who are greens. Yeah, I know, they probably, I hate to think of what they call me. Let's ask Roger in Allentown, Pennsylvania, what they call him. Hi, Roger, what are you, a radical?
Well, I prefer wacko, but...
Oh, okay. Have you got a question or comment for us today?
Just a quick one, and I'll hang up. And here we're complaining, but it just came out that the FBI has eliminated the middleman, greater efficiency, I guess. That is, they have the TIPS program's calls directly routed to America's Most Wanted.
Okay.
America's Most Wanted.
This is not a joke. I'm not kidding.
No, come on.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the ACLU,
that is so scary.
The ACLU has even complained about it already. God bless.
Thank you, Alex. That's Roger from Allentown, a regular listener here on Radio Liberty. That leaves up a line open at 888-245-4237 or 464-8295. Now, you guys out there had this passionate response to reading this book about The Coming Battle, and it was published more than 100 years ago originally, and you put it back together again, and people really need to read about it, because they often will say to me, people will, well, this is a new thing. You know, McCarthyism was so important. It kept the communists away. He was a liar, et cetera, et cetera. He's been found out to be very true and very prophetic in what's going on. But this book goes back 100 years or more. Surely this stuff hasn't been going on that long here in this country.
Yeah, it has. Mr. Walbert talks about how bills go through different committees in Washington and how the title of a bill is one thing when the content is just the opposite. For example, a bill supports abortion, but on the top of the title it says women's rights. Women mm-hmm. should have all these rights. So people think, well, if every woman should have rights. Nothing, you know, nobody wants to take a woman's rights away. So they vote for something, but the content is that she has a right to kill her baby.
Exactly.
I'm just using this as an example to drive my point home that one title of the bill is one thing when the content is just the opposite, and that is to fool the people so they'll vote and pass something, not really reading, you know, 500 or a couple thousand pages of legislation like they have today. And I imagine in the 1800s, I'm sure they didn't have that much, but even then people didn't bother reading what the content were. They just asked something, you know, when it went through different committees, they just voted it in and said, yes, let's send it to the floor, and bingo, it got passed, and there you are.
Right, on the basis of meetings in smoky back rooms and
absolutely.
And stuff like that. And now we have certainly an easy availability of print and, of course, word processing on your computer, but my goodness, some of these bills, like you say, are hundreds and hundreds of pages. Even if you try to read the synopses of these things, they don't make any sense because there's so much doublespeak in there, so much legalese, and it's the absolute opposite, generally, as you have so widely said, of what is really going on in the hearts of these people. And I would be willing to bet, were I a betting man, that every bill that seems to be passing these days, whether Republican or Democrat, are only methods of accumulating power and money in a centralized government in Washington, D.C., which is the antithesis of the way things started out.
Well, that's right. These people are just there because if they knew really what was going on, they'd get rid of them. They'd get rid of them like they got rid of this last guy. I just can't think of his name, but they just got rid of. And Bob Barr and people like that, they don't like him. They want to get rid of him in a worse way.
Of course, the media never talks about Bob Barr except in a pejorative sort of way. We never hear about Ron Paul. We rarely hear about any of the, quote, good guys, unquote. We only hear about the wonderful things that the former vice president is doing and his running mate and the other people, you know, who have the big names and the fame that precedes them along with those names. And it strikes me that the general public doesn't really care one way or the other because there's a sense of apathy, which has come from a sense that I can't really do anything about it anyway.
No, but a sense of apathy really comes from, you know, what can I do? You know, you can't fight City Hall, and they don't get involved. You know, well, Jesus will take care of everything, and when the end comes, I'll be raptured up, and I'll be floating in the sky, and that's what they believe in, so they don't get involved. A lot of them, I remember I was picketing the courthouse once, and it was a very good issue. I don't remember what the issue exactly was because I've done it four times. But anyway, I'm picketing, not the courthouse, the newspaper, pardon me. So I'm picketing the newspaper, and a man walks by, and he says to me, gosh, I really love what you're doing. I love it. He says, I agree with it. I said, well, thank you very much, sir. Here, would you like to hold a sign? All of a sudden, his face drops to the ground, and he says, well, I don't know. I have to ask my wife. You know, my wife may not like it. I said, you're kidding. You're going to have to ask your wife permission if it's okay to stand up for what you believe in.
Mm.
And that's what people think. They like what you do, but they don't want to do it themselves unless it hits them personally. When something affects them personally, when the government hits them in their little comfort zone, then they want to get up and get involved. But most of the time, by the time it gets to that point, it's already too late, you see. When they can elect decent people in office, they don't. They vote for the same people. The guy who's got the most signs, that's the guy that they vote on, and he's probably the worst one of all. But because he's one of the insiders that the Republican or the Democratic Party supports, that's the one they'll vote for.
It's really true. And your wonderful article on the website now, your website being News WithViews.com, entitled It's Insanity? No, It's Socialism. It's really great because there is not only an explanation clearly presented of what's going on, but there's a link to a marvelous article that was written by Clint Parker in the Asheville Tribune out there in North Carolina, I believe. And this is just one of the, unfortunately, hundreds of things that are going on in the country today. The Klamath River Basin, that river there in...
Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the one out west or out east where they are having to move homes because of the beautification type of thing. Again, just taking your private property away so that the deer and the birds will have a good time. But that sounds like a wonderful thing. I mean, we all love Bambi and everybody, but we want to be sure that we, as people created by God, have the rights to use our property as we want to. And this article, as quoted on your website, shows that there are people who very, very subtly, and perhaps not so subtly occasionally, are making ridiculous demands on people. Do you think that all this stuff is going to go away?
They're doing that, Dave, because they know they can get away with it. And people, you know, you go, I've talked to some local pastors here, I said, what do you think about this bill?
Mm-hmm.
Said, well, if you got nothing to hide, you got nothing to worry about. You have to obey government authority. That's the first thing they tell you.
But that's what you said right at the beginning. You said that right at the beginning of the program. You know, you give a little and you forget about it, and then the Lord only knows what they're going to take the time the next administration comes in.
Absolutely. They take a little today. Tomorrow they'll take a little more, and it's for the appearance. It's for the elderly. It's for the children. It's always something that sounds logical, so people will accept it. And once they get their foot in the door, watch out. It's like a camel. Once it puts his head in a tent, the whole body will follow.
Oh,
and
that's so true.
The same thing with this. And people, see what they really want. I'll tell you what they really want to accomplish in America, because that's really what corporate fascism is all about. It's the same with communism, of course. They want to eliminate people living in rural areas. They want to mass you in cities. And it's very clear why they do that, because you can control the masses in the cities. You cannot control them in a country.
Mm-hmm.
So the greatest threat that there is to the socialist corporate fascist agenda that's coming down is people living in the rural areas, out on the farms, on their own land, little small tiny villages and all this. That's a threat because these people are rugged. They're more individualism. They're now about to take the guff, and they can't be controlled, and that's what they have to do. So I believe that's one of the reasons why you have so many fires. Is because they're smoking them out,
mm-hmm.
they're burning them out, and then they're scaring a lot of them and say, well, I'm going to sell my home. My neighbor is selling his home here not far from us because he says, I don't want to live in the area where I have to worry about the fires every day. I'm going to move into the city.
Yep.
Now he can't get a dime from his home. So what they're slowly doing is destroying the mom-and-pop farms, your home out in the boonies. Either you have to... worry because the fire is coming, or you have to worry because there's a spotted owl there, or you have to worry that there is a endangered butterfly, or there is something. But eventually, it may take him 50 years to accomplish this, may take him 10 years to accomplish it. I don't know how long it's going to take him, but the time will come that this will be like Europe. And if you've ever been in Europe, you know no one lives on the land in Europe. You live in villages, and there's a road that goes from village to village to village. And you can take your tractor and go out into the country to toil your field, but you cannot live on your land.
That's an amazing thing. We're up against our third and final break for this afternoon's conversation with Paul Walter. I'm Dave Wilson with the Thursday's edition of Radio Liberty, and we'll be entertaining calls from Fred and others as we come back. I'd like to reiterate the fact that I switched my phone service, my long-distance service, over to Promise Vision. I've done it, several months ago, and I'm absolutely pleased with the quality of service that I receive. And you know what really pleases me even more than that? It's the fact that Promise Vision gives a certain percentage of my long-distance calling charges to Radio Liberty, one of the most painless ways I know of to support this very, very important radio program. You can switch to Promise Vision as you call 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. Tell the people that answer the phone there that you'd like to switch your long-distance carrier to Promise Vision and that you'd like Radio Liberty to be the recipient of a portion of your long-distance charges. And as you contemplate that, listen to this important message, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
And we're back with Paul and Lorraine Walter from Southern Safe, Oregon, living out in the woods, thumbing their nose, if you will, at the bureaucrats. Wonderful. And let's take a call from Fred and Salinas. Hi, Fred. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hi. Have you got a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. I wanted to just tell people listening that they should go to the local library and look up a book called The Black Angels by Rupert Butler. If they look at the it's a story about the Waffen-SS and what and how they were formed in their history. And you look at our special operations people right now, regular army. They report to Central Command. The special operations report to the White House. And you look at the similarities between the Waffen-SS and the special operations, and it's quite scary.
I guess it would be. I appreciate that word. That was called the what? Dark Angel?
The Black Angel.
The Black Angel. Have you ever read that book, Paul?
No, I haven't. Never heard of it.
Well,
Rupert Butler is the author, but it's a very good history of the Waffen-SS, and they're it's quite the Waffen-SS was Hitler's
special corps,
his
right?
Special operations, yeah. People. That was his elite. And you look at our special forces here, and that's the president's elite.
Well, it's pretty scary. But I thank you for sharing that with us this afternoon. Take care, and God bless you for listening to Radio Liberty. Paul, you saw at age 14 when you left Yugoslavia that country moving rapidly towards socialism, fascism, communism, whatever we want to define it as being. What do you think of the final breakup of your former homeland?
Well, I knew that this was eventually going to happen because Tito, that was the president, when we left, he did everything he could to hold those different ethnic groups together. Slovenia is mainly Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Serbia is mainly Orthodox Christian. And northern Yugoslavia was Catholic and Lutheran, and then the south western Yugoslavia was Muslim, so they have different ethnic groups, and he held it together pretty well. And of course they broke that whole thing up, and what they've done to that country is incredible. But I don't know the whole history of this country, because I do know that World War One started in the Balkans. World War II started in the Balkans, and so I don't really know what the reason was why they had to break that country up and why they did what they did, but I knew there was some kind of a diabolical reason, and maybe one day I'll find out.
It certainly must be heartbreaking for you to look back at what was going on and see how your country now, the United States, has aligned itself one way and then another, and demonized one person and then another person, and gone wishy-washy back and forth, never really coming to any kind of an end to that whole situation. And I suspect that you'd agree with me that that is the aim, in fact, for all of these things that we're involved ourselves in.
Absolutely, I do.
What do you think is going to happen in the Middle East now with President Bush pushing for an invasion of Iraq?
I'll tell you how I see this, Dave. Let me backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
We have a new world order coming, or a world government, right?
Yes.
Okay, now if the Bible is correct, and I believe that it is, it says it will be the Antichrist will come in the last days. Okay, now if you define that, and you define Antichrist, it's going to be a Christian new world order. Obviously, the Bible doesn't say it's going to be an anti-Muhammad or anti-Buddha. It's an Antichrist. This means it's a Christian, Judeo-Christian new world order. So what I see happening is the way they're going to accomplish this is, and the way communism works is divide and conquer. In other words, turn blacks against whites. While we're sitting and hating each other, the communist comes in and they advance their agenda, and they keep advancing their agenda, and here the blacks are hating whites, whites are hating Jews, Jews are hating this, and this person is hating that. While we're sitting and hating each other, they're advancing. And if you understand the message of what our Lord gave us, he says, love one another as I have loved you, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We all did that. The evil couldn't advance. So what they did is they've accomplished this because we have a fallen nature called judge and hate thy neighbor. And because we go to church on Sunday and then hate his brother on Monday, and that's why we're losing our rights, that's why we're losing our country, that's why we're losing everything. And our Lord knew this, that the time will come in this country that will be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah in the last days, where people will all sit here and hate each other. And if we can learn to give up that one emotion, which is very dangerous, called hate or anger or judgment or resentment, call it what you want, they couldn't win. This country will be back to its original founding father's intent in a moment, but because people don't know how to do that, we're going to lose our country. There's no question about this. So who's going to come on the scene is the Antichrist. And I see this as a religious war. What's going to happen, it's going to be between Hindus and Muslims and Christians, and eventually we're all sitting here eliminating each other, and then they're going to control what's left because they can't control all the people because there's too many people. They have to depopulate the planet. So how are they going to depopulate the planet? Is number one, we're going to eliminate each other through our hate toward one another.
Mm-hmm.
And Hitler did this. He couldn't get the war going, so he turned the people against the Jews. The Jews are the enemies. All of a sudden, he rallied all the Jew haters together, and the Jews became the enemy, and the Jews were not the enemy at all. Hitler was the enemy.
Exactly.
Because the people were so full of hate and anger in their heart. Anger. Have you ever made the right decision when you were angry? No, you always make the wrong decision when you're angry. So when you get the people to anger, they'll make the wrong decision, and they'll follow the wrong Pied Piper, and they'll all go over the hill.
It's interesting to note that the national media tend to present the Islamic movement, the radical Islam, as being anti-Jew, because they're always focusing on what's going on in Israel. But they don't talk about how radical Islam is against the people of the book, which includes Christian. The Quran calls for the decimation, the killing, or the conversion of everyone. And we don't understand that as Christians because we're not being told that. And I would be willing, again, to say that that also includes people who are atheists, who are Buddhists, who are Hindus. The radical Islamic plan calls for complete domination of the entire world, and they really don't care how long it takes. Now, our country has only been around for maybe 400 years, certainly not under our Constitution and everything, but I mean the people landed here in 16-some-odd, and 400 years. Now, the Muslims have been fighting in their territory for thousands of years. They're willing to be patient And our puny little history here is nothing to them. They're willing to wait 50 more years, 100 more years. It's a lot like the Fabian socialists, I think, and you'll agree, I'm sure, that they're willing to be patient, too. We've seen those who would foment socialism in this country leading to a fanatic kind of government. They're willing to wait, aren't they? I mean, they got rid of the Bible in schools and prayer in 1960. That's 40-some-odd years ago. Do you think they're willing to wait for another 20 years or so?
Well, they're extremely patient. The thing is now, you see, I believe that they're making a mistake, that they're accelerating the agenda. They're a little bit in a hurry now.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to accelerate the agenda, and people are starting to scratch their head, what is going on? And I think that's good in a way because it's waking some people up. They're starting to scratch their head, and they say, well, what the dickens is going on here? And they're starting to question. But if they would have been a little bit more patient and wait another 50 or 60 years, they would certainly accomplish this because that's how they accomplish their agenda, is through what they call, what it, Stalin calls, the advance through retreat. In other words, two steps forward, then you give people a little bit back. It's called one step backwards. Then you take two steps forward, rob them a little bit more.
Gradually.
Then you take one step back and give them back a little bit. Gas was a quarter of a gallon, they went to a dollar a gallon. People are all complaining when it was a dollar a gallon. Then it went back to 75 cents a gallon, and people said, whew, man, gas is cheaper. Then it went to $1.50
right.
a gallon. People complained. Then it went to a dollar a gallon. And they said, gosh, is gas cheap? Went down to a dollar a gallon. Then it went to $2.50 a gallon. Then when he came down to $1.50, now they said, gosh, is gas cheap? So what they're doing is they're advancing to retreat, and it works like a charm, and it's called Hegelian dialectic. They've been doing it for 4,000 years, and...
Well, you've got a good insight on what's going on, and I want to thank you because our hour's over. I appreciate your coming on. We didn't hear too much from your wife today, but hopefully we'll be able to have another conversation and get her a little bit more in there.
Yes.
I wanted to discuss some other things, but these hours go by awfully quickly, and I want to thank you for taking your time. As publisher of the website News with Views, as publisher of, or republisher, I should say, of The Coming Battle, a very important book, Paul Walter and Lorraine, thank you so much for being our guests on Radio Liberty.
Thank you very much, Dave. Don't forget to give your number out how people can order The Coming Battle.
I'll absolutely be doing that as I hang up right
thank
now.
Thank you very
Take
much.
Care. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
God bless you too, Dave. Bye-bye.
One of the books that we were talking about, The Coming Battle, you can get right here at Radio Liberty, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's included also, of course, in our Radio Liberty resource packet. And I also want to take a couple of minutes to encourage you to prayerfully consider helping underwrite the cost of putting these programs on the air. It's very expensive, frankly. You know, Dr. Stan does a lot of talk radio. And every time he appears on the radio, it's money spent well, but nevertheless spent. And you need to come alongside Dr. Stanley Monteith and help Radio Liberty move across this nation on many, many more radio stations. You can do that by calling 800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 544-8927, and declaring your intent to become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for $20 or more, and I underline that or more business there, we'll send you the four best tapes of the month and Dr. Stan's monthly newsletter. You can't do better than that for $20, four tapes and a newsletter. So please pray about it and then call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll be back tomorrow with Jay Wally talking a little bit more about property rights as things are happening down there in Florida. Until then, pray for Radio Liberty. Pray for Dr. Stan. Pray for me, Dave Wilson, for provision and protection. And as the Lord tarries, we'll talk to you tomorrow. So long, everybody.